thought I met a man who said,
okay. We are plugged in and ready to go. So it's Sunday the 7th of May here in Sydney, Australia. And this podcast is, of course, available from my website, crasfiles.com. Haven't been on for a couple of weeks, Jim, but we are back with Jim West today. have a quick chat and put some new material out as we go forward. But our followers can go on to crasfiles.com and check out all the great links going up there and videos. And really everything that I do put out is linked to that website, pretty much. iTunes, Facebook, social media, all of that's on there. So check it out and make some comments and like the Facebook page. See what you think. Also, just get this up for our followers. Just over the last few days, I was able to put a bit of love back into our other great website, which is opensourcetruth.com. We worked on this a while ago through the Natural Solutions Foundation, and we didn't have enough funds originally to do what we kind of wanted, and so the site needed a bit of love and attention, and it's been doing well, but we did a lot of fixing up there through Renegade, so the site's looking really spiffy and very nice now. So that is also linked on crasfiles.com down the right corner of the website. Down the bottom you'll see Open Source Truth articles there, and go over to that website. So there'll be tons going up there as well for people. A lot of medical related issues and food related issues, along with GMO and especially health freedom information. And you can watch the latest Dr. Rima Truth Reports radio shows that they do live on YouTube, which link to that website. And there's tons of stories going up and great products to go and have a look at and purchase through them. And that links, those articles also link over to the Natural Solutions Foundation page over on Facebook. So a big page there. So really great to get another nice looking website up and functioning, because we'll go through this with Jim West. But I think, you know, a good functioning website, putting up lots of info, it's kind of like a weapon now. I think we're really in an info war, especially in Australia, with the mainstream media failing. We'll go through that as well, but it's great to have these websites out and getting so much traffic on them. So opensourcetruth.com, check it out, and let us know what you think, make some comments. But how are you going, Jim? How's things on your end in New York?
I'm doing good, and thanks for having me on your show.
We've just been fidgeting a little bit. I just lost some software and stuff on my computer the last few weeks. Been a bit of a pain sort of doing this podcast, recording Skype and everything, and doing it in the way I'm used to. So kind of back on track now. You know, as we do, but good to be plugged in again with you. Anything new on your end over there in the US? Anything exciting happening? In I noticed your book got translated as well. That's something to go through.
That's exciting. My ultrasound bibliography, it was translated into Japanese, and it's been a work in progress for about 4 months. It's actually, which is pretty quick, you know, for a translation. But it finally is up there on the Japanese Amazon website.
That's right. You mentioned that in the week, and I make sure I mention that. Yeah.
Yeah, and at the same time in April, a little earlier, the Townsend Letter for Doctors and Patients published my ultrasound article, which advocates that women should receive a $10 million dowry if they avoid ultrasound. That's my hook.
Yeah. Right.
And then I explain to them why it's a very truthful statement in my, although I'm not an authority, not a doctor, not an expert. I have to do that little disclaimer, you know, at the beginning of the show, although I feel like I know a lot of stuff. being a researcher for decades of medical corruption and techniques and science.
That's right. Well, it's good. Great idea to get that book translated. That's going to get it out to a lot of people. Any more translations, or is that sort of what you wanted, the main one to
do? Well, somebody offered to do a Polish translation, but
Spanish would be good.
Spanish would be good. There is a translation of an extensive interview of me on a Spanish website called Discovery Salud, and I'm also I'm part of their advisory group as an honorarium. So it's pretty good for not speaking Spanish very well. But we worked on that for like a week or 2 weeks. This author, Spanish author. And
such important work.
I'm talking about him. Yeah. But the recent 1-2 punch of my Spanish translation of the ultrasound book and the publishing in the Townsend Letter actually brought a little more attention to me. It made really people realize I'm not going away. My book's not going away. And I received a little respect from some major scientists. I'm not going to mention their name right now, but a neurologist and a biologist, I've been in contact with these people, and maybe it looks like some things are going to grow out of that also. Because it looks like it's pretty well obvious that ultrasound is a big hazard, and I even heard from a person on the street of New York. I heard somebody say that his girlfriend was pregnant, and I said, "Oh, you better watch out for ultrasound." And this guy, not a radical like you and me, or a researcher or anything, or an anti-vax person or whatever, he just said, don't worry, they're not doing it until after 20 weeks because of all the lawsuits. And I said, what lawsuits? I hadn't heard of them. Maybe there's some undercover, they do these gag orders, and maybe there's some lawsuits and threats being made by people who have damaged children against the ultrasound clinics, because a clinic told him, an ultrasound clinic said they would not do it before the 20th week because of the danger of lawsuits. They weren't so worried about the danger to the child, but they were worried about the danger of the lawsuits.
Of course.
So that makes me, now I'm wondering, are there a bunch of gag order lawsuits going on? Because I hadn't heard about this. I thought this is one of those things that would never change. But so I have to track this guy down and get more information and follow up.
Very
on
interesting.
It.
Interesting. Yeah.
So that's basically everything. So over and out.
Yes. Well, you got your new book coming out as well on.
Plus,
that,
I have another book. Another book, which is like 550 pages on ultrasound horror. I mean, it's like horror you can't believe that I couldn't believe. I'm really surprised what I found. Ultrasound, bad news.
Yeah, it's crazy. Well, it's all bad news. It's all bad news. The whole attack.
everywhere you look, if it has anything to do with doctors and all that.
That's right. Yeah. Well, we're copying it here in Australia, very badly. I have seen some, although I didn't save them, but there seems to be some cracks appearing in the government. Our pathetic, disgusting, spineless Prime Minister was over in your part of the world, actually, with Donald, the Don. He was over there sucking up to him, Malcolm Turnbull. He was over there nodding his head. His suit's too tight, you know. His suit's too tight, so he looks kind of, I don't know if it's cutting off the blood pressure to his brain, but he looks like a toy figurine over there, smiling, you know. And he's an embarrassment to this country. He's an embarrassment to many of us, you know. This man is an absolute disgrace, a disgraceful person, you know.
And he's he's one of the pro-vaccine
People. Well, he's directly involved in with, you know, drug corporations through his shares. We went through this. His wife sits on on the chair, of Prima Biomed, which works directly in collaboration with GlaxoSmithKline and other pharmaceutical giants to come up with new drugs and new vaccines for the market. But our Prime Minister's directly involved. And that's what I feel we've had such a great change like never before with our websites and getting information out. This is new in Australia. We haven't done this much before, and I've noticed such a great change because the original article I put up on my website about Turnbull, it was like him pushing, you know, mandatory vaccination agenda on the children, but having lucrative shares in pharmaceutical companies and tobacco companies and stuff, you know. That article did so well, you know, and it'll turn up just searching for his name sometimes. And if it, you know, if you're looking for Malcolm Turnbull and you just type in vaccinations, not even forced or mandatory, that article come up with all the mainstream media ones. So it did very well, and then it got picked up by some bigger websites over your way, The Mind Unleashed, Natural News, David Icke. A lot of them picked it up and did their own articles on that, the Australian Prime Minister's dirty little shares and his you know, involvement with the pharmaceutical industry. I mean, that is unheard of. It's in a modern country like Australia, for the Prime Minister to be heavily involved with vaccine manufacturers, and his wife being heavily involved. It's really disgusting what's going on, but you know, got that out to so many people, they got to read that as well, and that's why I feel like we've done so well. So we've got a great network of websites and things going on social media, and you're there, and our guests, and we're really making a big change in regards to you know, protecting our health freedoms, because that's what it's all about. It's a, you know, you shouldn't be forced or pushed into anything. I've noticing, Jim, with the latest media attacks, they're getting very, very nasty, because their greatest fear is this information that we're getting out, just getting out to the general public, you know, mums and dads who are going to get pregnant or are pregnant or just had a baby, general Australians, you know, who aren't sure, who aren't anti-vaccination or anti-ultrasound or pro or whatever. They're just going off the advice that the doctor's giving them. They don't want this information getting to all these people, millions of people, and that's what we're doing, and that's what's happening. So it's really exciting news. And I also read again, which I already put the article up before, but we saw on the mainstream media news the other night, the News Corp media in Australia, which is mostly controlled by Rupert Murdoch, is failing pretty badly. So all the terrible columnists are jumping ship like rats jumping off the ship. They're all getting sacked, Jim, because News Corp, which is the big newspapers in Australia, like the terrible Telegraph and the Herald Sun and the Courier Mail, they're not making money like they used to, because people are tuning out and they want alternative news. And that's what they were saying in this report. And so all these Murdoch columnists are getting sacked, but the CEOs are moving in their place and absorbing all the remaining money. It's just, these are the kind of people that we're dealing with here. So really despicable people. But it shows that the big papers who've had such a stranglehold on our information here in Australia for so long are failing, and they're admitting it, and they're getting angry at us because they're saying that a lot of the public are turning to alternative news sources now. Well, and they're seeing these articles we're putting out. That's right. Yeah. They're not going to get ultrasound information off their doctors, but, vaccine information.
It used to be, not long ago, that you would never hear the slightest criticism of vaccines, and you still rarely see it on the mainstream, the solid mainstream, And now it's getting more common. And even the President of the United States is criticizing vaccines, So
that's right.
I was looking at the meeting between Turnbull and Trump.
Turnbull.
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 So they have a meeting, and the New York Times does an analysis of the handshake and the body posture and everything. And it turns out that Trump made Turnbull wait 3 hours for the meeting. And during that 3 hours, he gave a speech to repeal Obamacare, about the repealing of Obamacare, which is the health system that Turnbull apparently admires,
That's right. Yeah, he's a scumbag.
So I would say it's pretty good. And then when they had the handshake at the end of the meeting, Trump, who usually puts his hand out, held his hand back and made Turnbull do all the work.
That's right. Well, he's a groveler.
That's good.
So
we have to give a cheer up to whatever, thumbs up to Trump for that. Trump has said, big pharma needs to become little pharma.
That's right.
So,
Malcolm wouldn't like that it's all about making money, for him. And what do we got now in Australia, Jim? What's happening now? With Mr. Turnbull in regards to this? Well, Mr. Turnbull's government in Australia are about to build on this and pump out a new no jab, no pay policy with new campaign. Malcolm Turnbull's government is rolling out a $5.5 million immunization awareness program to encourage parents and carers to get their kids vaccinated. So this is a $5.5 million immunization propaganda campaign that's is already started rolling out across Australia. So I would say to all Australians out there, you ain't seen nothing yet. You have not seen anything yet. You are going to see the biggest fear-mongering propaganda campaign in regards to vaccines that we have ever seen in this country. It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be all over the TV, on every channel. It's going to be in every newspaper. It's going to be everywhere you go. There's going to be fear-mongering and propaganda and bullshit in regards to vaccines and herd immunity out all over the country. And he's spending, $5.5 million of taxpayers' money to do this because they're also saying, Jim, that there's pockets all around Australia where the vaccine rates are falling as people get their hands
wise
on a different information. Yeah. But that's what's happening in there. They're trying to pump it up, but they're panicking now. And so there's large areas of Australia, I'm hearing, especially wealthy areas, but all around the country where vaccine rates are now falling into the 80% when they wanted it at 95. I think it's 93 point something now, but they want to push it at 95 and then 100. There's actually some lunatics in the government that want every single living creature in Australia to be vaccinated, but it's actually, as people get this information, it's going to fall, and it's going to fall lower, even lower. So that's what they're bringing out this campaign for. So they're really, information, they're blaming this anti-vaccination movement, saying it's dangerous misinformation, everything, but they're blaming this anti-vaccination movement for everything. So it's absolutely crazy. But there you go. So people in Australia better be aware of this, that it's coming their way.
So our representatives in Washington, D.C., they have three pharmaceutical lobbyists for every representative. So how many lobbyists do you guys have in they must be covering your legislative people, right?
Yeah.
They must be smothering them, right?
Oh, God, there's so much criminal behavior going on over here.
Yeah.
I was reading some reports within the government, within Malcolm Turnbull's government, that they're not happy about this and this attack on parents' rights, and the, you know, this attack on, you know, because Malcolm Turnbull wants to bring in a new law to make it completely mandatory for all children going to childcare centres and childcare places in Australia-wide, mandatory vaccination for them, otherwise they can't go to childcare. And they're saying this is terribly discriminatory. It's bullying behaviour, bullying tactics. It's bullying people. It's treating, you know, Australian families who are healthy families like I am, and they've got healthy kids who've done nothing wrong. They work hard. It's treating them like bloody criminals. And that's what he's doing. But you're getting, you know, politicians in his government who are now saying this is not good. It's discrimination and it's terrible how people are being treated. So, and that's why I'm happy about the information that we're getting out to the world. Because it's okay to be in these locked private Facebook groups, that's fine. But everybody in those groups is like you. Everyone agrees. The general public aren't seeing this information. And I feel with our websites and our what we're doing, we're getting information out to people all over the world. But, you know, Australia like to portray them. Australia like to have this nice, clean, green, democratic image. But we want people all around the world to see this disgusting behavior, and we want to shame them as well. You know?
Yeah. Well, you know, if you do a search on vaccines on Google, I mean, you do find the anti-vaccine position fairly prominent.
It is now. You know, it never used to be like that. It's changing. So people are getting access to that information on Google everywhere. I mean, some of these Facebook groups, Jim, they started off with 1,000 members, and you've got 10, 25, you know, 30,000 members in there now. And, you know, you're getting a lot of, you know, children who are dealing with vaccine injuries or adverse reactions or whatever, finding a voice now. But really, at the end of the day, you know, you can wipe all the anti-vax thing and pro-vaccination thing off the table. It's all about health freedoms for me. They can smear people all they want with the anti-vaxxer thing, but it's all about just having freedom of choice and, you know, over your body and what goes into it, you know, and your children's bodies. Yeah. It's your body, it's your health, it's your life. It shouldn't be dictated to and told by this nanny state. It's just ridiculous what they're going for. They have no shame.
It's a militaristic nanny state. I think, in a way, I think what's happened is that the medical system has taken over the role of religion, but it's also taken over the role of the military-industrial complex, because it's much bigger than the military-industrial complex. People have always thought the military-industrial complex was like the biggest, richest, most corrupt thing, right? But the medical has taken it over because it's the same manufacturers. And I don't really see medicine anymore as separate from the military industrial complex. I think that it really is sort of a form of the military ritual, which has been going on for thousands of years, right? Ever since Greece or before, there's been the ritual of the military march every March, every spring. The youth have to go out and fight war, and war is part of life and is part of culture, and it's been there forever, and it probably will go on forever. And it seems like medicine is now taking that role. It's becoming, you know, the war has become more intellectual through the medical paradigms, you know. So that's right. The new truth. That's my truth.
That's right. Yeah, we'll see.
So I don't think it's nothing we can expect to go away. It's just transforming. That's why we haven't had World War III. We had, you know, we should have had World War III and World War IV. You know, but they didn't. They don't have to do that, because after the end of World War II, they took all those war companies that were making so much money in World War II, transformed themselves into the medical industrial complex and into the agrochemical complex.
That's
instead of making tanks, they began to make tractors. Instead of making war gas and war chemicals to kill people in trenches, they transformed them into pharmaceuticals. There's a book on this called Pills, Pesticides, and Profits. Everything just transformed into the medical system and the agricultural system. And now we have war coming through your mother. You know what I mean? It's like, it's incredible.
They sort of, in a way, they sort of, in a way, if you look at it, when you look at the DDT thing and the spraying and what you're talking about, this huge chemical use and attack, and you look at how it's been transformed today, it's almost like this chemical assault has been miniaturized, isn't it? It's been put into pills and vaccines in such small doses to get into the general public. But yeah, they've put a nice face on it, you know, a nice glossy face on it to make it look all healthy and good.
It's supposed to be a triple evolution of poisons. First, a poison is developed for military use, and then the poison is made for agricultural use, and then it's made for medical use. You know, that's, you know, but it's the same thing with any technology. The technology first is run through the military system, because they want to make sure they utilize it first, and they're always ahead of the curve. The military system wants any new technology or new chemicals or new poisons, the medical system wants, the military has it first, and then it goes into the medical and the agricultural. Even the internet, you know, that was first military, and then it branched out into, under the control really of the military, it branched out into the civilian world.
Yeah. And they let us have it. That's right. This article, which I think I sent you from Perth Now in Australia, really shows you how ugly they're getting. And I did send you this. This was a professor as well. Professor Fiona Stanley has labeled anti-vaccination campaigners as evil.
And, yeah, right.
She's saying parents who fail to vaccinate their children against deadly diseases, may not be motivated to act until more children are killed and severely disabled, she says. So this is a professor, Jim, Professor Fiona Stanley, and she says, the reason we managed to vaccinate the entire under 15 population with polio is because people were so scared. They saw it. People were dying and being paralyzed. They saw this dreadful disease, so she's pumping out the polio fear as well. And as I said, I don't have to say again, this is a professor in Australia, outwardly, openly, viciously attacking a whole community of people, health-loving, health-freedom, and minded individuals, you know, who only want to preserve their health freedoms and the health of their kids. She's calling them evil, and
Sure, it's incredible. A lot of anti-vaccine people became anti-vaccine after their children were damaged.
That's what I'm saying.
You're not talking to naive people. You're talking to people that really know the situation really well, because it happened in their family, you know. So for her to be saying that, I don't know. It's just like... The mainstream, including the mainstream professors, they're so... They're boring, you know. They're so stupid, you know.
She seems to be involved with the Meningitis Centre of Australia. She's talking about that. But, yeah, really incredible. But it shows you they're getting nasty as they lose this war and their ship sinks further into the icy depths of their own lies.
That's where they get their paycheck and their status, yeah. You know.
To see these professors talking like that, you know, and we've invited, for 2 years I try to invite these professors, so-called scientists, doctors, all sorts of people on this podcast, at least to engage in a debate about simple things like herd immunity and this information, false information as I see it, and none of them will do it. But they don't have any problems getting in the papers and up on TV and calling people evil. But they won't engage in an open debate with our side.
You know? Yeah, any scientist, any doctor, they will never engage in public debate. No virologist, they will never engage in public debate because they know they're just playing a game. They're just trying to get funding, you know. I actually was lucky enough to have a conversation with a guy who was working, this was years ago, he was working with the New York city health department, and we were talking about vaccines and all that, and he said, yeah, it's really crazy, you know, the way they're pushing the vaccines and the pharmaceuticals on children everywhere. And he said he asked his supervisor, hey, what's the deal, you know, because he, you know, he was firmly established there. He wasn't afraid of losing his job or anything. And he said it's pretty common. They, within the medical health department and all that, he says it's not like they don't know. They know that the pharmaceutical companies are they're playing a really dangerous game. It's beyond dangerous. It's a damaging game with children. He said they know it. But the answer he got was, well, you know, all the medical programs we have and children's programs and health programs and the media stuff and all that, that all comes from the pharmaceutical companies. If we start criticizing them, you know, we're going to be out of business, you know. So it's the same thing with the major media is the major medical. They know it's a big, crazy thing, but, you know, maybe it should come back to the people who are taking those drugs. The responsibility is coming back to them because it seems that they need an existential fix. You know, they can't handle this world. They want pain relief. They you know, and they will get it from one doctor, and if that doctor doesn't give it to them, they'll go to another doctor and they'll get it. You know, even if a doctor tells them, look, pharmaceuticals are bad for you, I don't want to give these to you, they're going to go to another doctor. So the pharmaceutical companies may be doing a service. Where they step over the line is when they start making everything mandatory.
That's right.
You know what I'm saying? You know,
that's what they're trying to do here.
I'm just trying to flip the paradigm so maybe they're not so evil. Maybe the evil is the consumer. You know, the consumer doesn't want to know. The consumer knows there's controversy, but the consumers want this stuff, and they want to take the side of an authoritarian mandated thing because they want the drug because they're cowardly in life or something. I don't. And then, but to hide their own cowardliness, they need to have everybody else mandated to take the drug. I mean, maybe that's the deal, the social psychology behind all this, you know.
Well, you know, the drug companies are always going to be there. Evil is always going to be there, you know, and it's up to the individual, you know.
Maybe the evil is coming out of the individual, you know.
It's like
and
a riff.
This is really the most humane way to handle these evil consumers is to give them the drugs that they are begging for. But the thing is, not to mandate it, you know.
For everybody else.
there is a twist, though. I mean, there is an unbalanced information thing. So I can't call them all evil because the information is quite unbalanced. And it comes from these, and a great part of the advertising is just the mere fact that it's coming from certified officials and doctors and legislators and law enforcement and people of great stature are promoting vaccines. So, I mean, that's a big part of it. So I can't blame them, but I'm searching for somebody to blame, and I'm tired of blaming the pharmaceutical companies, you know.
That's right.
We've all been frustrated. So I just thought I'd flip the coin there to try to get a different perspective.
You know? Well, but as you said, you know, it's the people who demand it. I mean, if they can't get it, they will eventually get it. They'll go everywhere they can to get it off the doctors, and they're only too happy through the drug companies, drug manufacturers are only too happy to supply it. Especially when you're talking about pain medication, you know, it was only just a few years ago, even in Australia, was almost every second TV ad was something to do with pain medication. And I was thinking to myself, God, how could so many people be in pain all the time, you know? You know, and it got me thinking, you know, people, you know, you meet are always in pain, whether it's this or that. It's really incredible. You know, I think, well, it's obvious they're addicted to them as well. And they're going to get them.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
From somewhere.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, right.
Going to get
and
their
what
drugs.
What are you going to do? You know? Yeah. They gotta do the deal. I guess that's what life it is. It's just a bunch of games, you know? It's like Ring Around the Rosie, you know? And
It just, so many people are just not informed, and that's because their only information or news comes from the mainstream media, which is, you know, I mean, when you look at the mainstream media, I mean, you said this on the last show, I mean, when you really look at it, what is it? I mean, it's probably 60 or 70% just propaganda and sport and weather and gossip. And this sort of stuff, and they do throw in things that are happening in, you know, locally. For me, for example, there'll be things that happen in Australia or Sydney. They'll throw in some political news and what Turnbull did overseas, and so that sort of stuff is happening. And so, you know, so that's their news. But I just mean, you know, people are watching this and they're not getting the bigger picture, and they think because they read these papers and watch the news reports at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock at night that they're informed, but you know it's they're missing out on so much. But it's basic information that people don't have, and they're walking into this pharma trap without having any prior knowledge about what these drugs, vaccines, ultrasounds, all this stuff can do. You know, I think years ago when I went to the dentist, I know a lot about teeth and dental stuff, and I was talking to the lady about it, and she was like, how do you know so much about, you know, no one ever says anything when they come in here. But when I sat down the chair, I was talking about what I wanted to do, and I wanted to check everything, you know, and I do that with anything medically related. If I'm not sure about something, I just don't go, but if I have to go in, get a checkup for anything, no matter what it is now, I'm going to do some prior research and then ask them questions. But people, you know what I mean? They're walking blindly into these, into this medical cobweb, not knowing anything about what's going to be shot into them, into their children, about what they're going to do. And then, of course, it's easy for them to get you caught up in there and coming back and taking stuff. Here's an article I put up from the US, which proves my point here, and this was terrible. It was a baby's health rapidly declines after receiving 13 vaccines at once. So what happened here, it was a mum from Georgia. She took a routine trip to a pediatrician, they're the worst, to the pediatrician's office with her one-year-old son for a checkup, for his one-year checkup, and hadn't been caught up on vaccines. That's what the pediatrician said. And the pediatrician said, I can safely give your son 13 vaccines at once, and actually said, I can give up to 20 at one time. And this woman was unaware of any of this and went in and did it. And so this is a whole article on what happened to this boy and his health and how sick he got after this. But here's a woman walking into a pediatrician's office and letting a pediatrician inject her child with 13 vaccinations at once. Why? Because she's misinformed. She's ill-informed. She doesn't know who the hell would do that. Well, you know, that is crazy.
She knows it's a controversy, but she didn't bother to research it. The other side of the story. You know?
But I mean, 13?
Right.
Anyone with half a brain would say, hang on, doctor. You know, I have to think about this, but you know,
sure,
because
that number's right.
Yeah, I mean, my God, and that's what they're saying here. They're saying it through the health department in Australia. You know, we can inject thousands of these vaccines into your little baby at one time. It's not going to hurt them at all.
I know a woman who walked into a dentist's office, and she got 17 fillings in her mouth
right.
at one time. And the thing is, see, she had beautiful teeth, and she always went to the dentist every year for a checkup, and she never had a cavity, never had any problems. And suddenly, this dentist goes, he takes some x-rays, and he goes, you have 17 cavities. We can fill them right now, okay? And the woman, rather than saying, I think I'll take a rain check and think about it, she or say, or instead of saying, no, you're crazy, you know, because I never had a cavity before, she just got depressed. She laid back in the dentist chair and she said, okay, you know, do me. And she got 17 fillings, you know, and that sounds like what happened to this lady who had all these vaccines pumped into her child. She just went, okay, the doctor said so. Okay. You know, no second opinion, you know?
That's the same thing. And this case that I'm reading was evidently on 60 Minutes because there was medical kidnapping as well, because the child got sick and they took him in, and then they wanted to arrest the mother, the parents. They took it from all these people came in, you know, started treating the parents like criminals and attempting to put the mum in child abuse register. So this was a huge case in the US. Yes, I'll link it through so you can read it, but there you go.
Maybe she should be taken, the child should be taken from her because she believed the doctors.
Look what she did. That's what I'm saying. Just because she didn't know her stuff, you know, because she didn't do some research. Anyone who does basic research on vaccines would know you don't even want one of the bloody things. But she's gone in like a blind zombie and just walked into the hole.
So what was the basis for wanting to take her child from her? Because they tried to blame it on her somehow?
Oh, I'll send that through to you later. Yeah, well, it's such a huge article.
You found this where?
It was on Medical Kidnap, a great website called Medical Kidnap, and they have all these articles
I've heard
up.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so depressing, you know, that I don't even read it because it's just too depressing and I agree with it so much already.
I
understand that.
We just had it in Australia with a family because their son, little boy Chase, it was all over the news here, Jim. I won't go into that too much at the moment, but it's a family and he's vaccine damaged as well. And they gave him all the vaccines, all the recommended vaccines, bar a few. And so they're calling this lady, this family, anti-vaxxers, and they're not. They vaccinated him and they gave him two hepatitis B vaccines by mistake. So he copped a second one and he has seizures and they won't let him have access to cannabis oil. And then they went into the hospital and they basically medically kidnapped him. And the mother went in and took him out and ran away. But the police in Australia, in Queensland, put out an Amber Alert that she's taken the child and all this. It was totally criminal behaviour. So the family's got the little boy back. He's on the cannabis oil. I hear he's doing well. But this was a case of medical kidnapping in Australia. And what they tried to do is they tried to say that he was underweight and undernourished and all this when he wasn't. And I was saying that's what they do to these kids. Once they get the kids in there and they pull out the underweight thing and you accept that, then a million other things could happen. And that's how they get them caught in there. But he wasn't underweight. He wasn't. He's very healthy. He has a healthy diet. There was nothing wrong with this boy. He just needed to be with his mum. That was a huge case in Australia, all over the news. She fled and ended up getting him back from the hospital. And so all's turned out okay. But it was a case of medical kidnapping in this country. And it shows you how dangerous they're getting. The hospital tried to snatch this boy from the parents. And then they're going to take them and they're going to label you as an abuser. That's what they're doing. And the media are so low and disgusting in this country. I've always been asking how low can the media go in this country, but they're labeling this poor mother an anti-vaxxer with this poor boy. It's such a disgraceful act. And then all the community got behind them, Jim, on Facebook, thousands and thousands of people, and they backed off. A really frightening display. And I've been hearing that in the US about this medical kidnapping. They're damaging these children through the vaccines and through the ultrasounds, as we know, the whole process. And then they're getting back into the hospitals and wiping the parents out of the picture and taking the kids, you know, for all sorts of reasons. So it's a scary thing because, you know, once you step into that black hole, medical black hole, you know, you lose all your rights. And
they want to create emergencies, and with emergencies they can get the tax dollars, you know.
That's right.
They have an excuse. Yeah. It's like war. You declare war is a big emergency. We want all your money and we want the lives of your children. Same thing with medical thing. Emergency. Everything's an emergency. You know, you got to buy our drugs. You know, it's the emergency business. You know.
It's right. Yeah. I mean, the things they can accuse you of as well. And that's how scary it's got here, you know, because they're trying to push the whole thing that if you're a parent and you haven't vaccinated your kid, that you're neglecting them, and you know, they're trying to push that whole child abuse thing, and that's being done through the media as well.
You didn't poison your children, so therefore you've neglected them.
You're an abuser.
What a crazy world, huh?
Let me get it. All right, Jim, see if I can dig it up.
Hey.
Here we are. I was just looking for an article to show to you. I've read this out before. From Maria Bilias, another Murdoch bootlicker. Refusing to vaccinate is akin to child abuse. Refusing to vaccinate is akin to child abuse. The Daily Telegraph. February 27th, 2016. Maria Bilias wouldn't talk to me. Blocked me from social media when I asked her to please explain or come on and have a debate with us over what she said. Why is it child abuse? But parents who choose not to vaccinate their children are child abusers. So this was through the Murdoch papers, and that's where they're going now. That's where what they're trying to do. So a disgusting display, and I've watched this process for quite a while now. So we're hoping that we get enough people on side to force a back off here. Because we just don't want this in this country. Because, you know, we've talked about this with you before. You get into a hospital system, you know.
Hello?
I'm here. You get into a hospital system, and if something does happen to your little one, whatever it may be, they might have a fall, or let's just say they're not well, or it could be any number of issues. You know, they write down those little things in those clipboards, don't they, about you? Your child's not vaccinated.
Well, that's the problem.
You
they know, want to have a central record for everybody now. Your medical record is a central record. So every time they can track you, you know. So you have to be very diplomatic and very – you don't want to create enemies. You want to see always reasonable. And at the same time, you want to, like, fend them off, you know.
Well, after talking to you, I don't even know what, you know, measles is. You know what I mean? Measles, chicken pox, all this virus stuff. We've gone through it with you, but just say your kid's not vaccinated and they get this chicken pox reaction and they go into the hospital, they're going to say, well, you're not vaccinated. You got chicken pox, you know, and all this. They're going to make a big drama about it. But you, the parent, is seen as neglectful and abusive.
It's so crazy. It would be wonderful if all these people who are trying to label everybody would come out of the woodwork and talk to the public, you know.
But they know that they're wrong,
and they know that if they talk it to the public, they're going to lose. They have nothing to gain by talking to the public. They're supported by big money.
It's so funny because these professors and so-called doctors and media people, they're actually saying in these news reports, big news reports the other night, and I didn't save the one. I was trying to find it to send to you because it was such a laugh. But they were saying because there's pockets now of unvaccinated individuals all around Australia and the vaccine rates seem to be falling, they said in this article it was going to be a return of the biblical diseases. And I was going to ask you, what are biblical diseases? What does that mean? Are we talking about the Black Plague or something?
It's got to be a plague.
I don't know.
If
there's communities who are healthy and unvaccinated and there's nothing wrong with them and they're completely happy, evidently it's going to be, the skies are going to open up and the lightning's going to come out and God's going to stick his fist out and he's going to go, yes, and these biblical diseases are going to be laid upon everybody.
Yes, but that's because God wanted those diseases. He was punishing mankind. So these doctors and medical system are trying to interrupt God's work. God wants to spread, you know, spread the plague and to all the unbelievers. And the medical system is fighting him.
The unwashed
masses. They represent
the devil. That's right. And we've got all these articles as well coming out, Jim, from absolutely nowhere, that I've saved a whole bunch of them. It's unvaccinated travellers bringing deadly diseases back into Australia now. So Australian tourists returning from overseas are bringing, I'd like to ask you about this actually, dengue fever and rabies into New South Wales. What do you think about that?
Right.
Bringing rabies back because you're a traveller and you're unvaccinated.
I don't know. Of course, it's like ridiculous. You know,
it's just insane. There's no substance to these reports.
They're just claims. They're just dramatic statements. You know, I mean,
you can get away with that.
You know,
it's because
they don't want to venture into rationality, so they just have to make these crazy things. You know.
Yeah, I try to send you it all so you can get at least a vision of what's happening here. But it's because the vaccine rates are falling and going to continue to fall. They're getting nasty and they're panicking and they're coming up with all these articles. So, I mean, I was overseas last year and I'm not vaccinated. I didn't bring back rabies.
Well, what did you bring back?
Just my wife and child and some happy memories and lots of photos on my iPhone.
Oh, I see.
And
you
some
got a T-shirt.
Some souvenirs.
I came back from across the ocean.
South America.
All I got is my wife and child.
Yeah, I did have a very ugly beige T-shirt that was given me. I haven't worn it yet. That could be a threat to, you know,
right.
For
especially if you
looking
don't wash
ugly.
It.
Yeah. Well, you know, but I wasn't aware that I had rabies or anything. I wasn't bitten by a monkey. I guess people who are going to Asia, maybe. Or
I think
Bali.
It has to be a green monkey. It has to be a green monkey.
Have you done much research on that rabies? And what's the other one? Is it rabies?
On rabies, you do mutt research. Like dog mutt research.
Is it what Cujo had? And yeah, the rabid dogs.
Yeah.
So a rabid dog farming at the mouth.
I have done a lot of research on rabies. There's a great book out there it's actually one of the most recent thorough biographies of Louis Pasteur, the one who brought us the rabies virus paradigm. And it's actually a mainstream a biography of Pasteur, and his conclusion is that Pasteur's conclusions are unfounded, and that he was highly prejudicial. He had a bunch of dogs. He didn't have many dogs, and you can see in his notes that he was just hoping the right dogs were dying in order to support his belief that they were being caused by a lack of vaccination, you know.
So the dogs get bitten by the bats, and then they go crazy like Cujo.
I think he had a vaccine. I think he proved it, the worthiness of the virus paradigm and its vaccine at the same time by vaccinating dogs, and the ones who were vaccinated lived longer than the ones that didn't. But the thing is, the results are very marginal, and his prejudice is very obvious if you read his notes. The guy got his original notes there in France and studied them and quotes Pasteur's prejudicial statements, you know.
What is the rabies? What is this, in your view?
Rabies began at the same time that the so-called Green Revolution began around 1868, and that was just when they started doing the mass agricultural pesticide programs using arsenic and lead. And I think it's just obvious that in the agricultural world, pretty soon you're going to have dogs and other animals just staggering around, dying of neurological disease, and they gave the label of rabies to the and claimed that it's a viral disease. They also gave it a very scary description, showing pictures of rabid dogs with their teeth barred and growling like they're going to go crazy and bite you. But the reality of rabies disease is that the dog is actually drowsy and neurologically impaired. They are not wild, crazy, and biting. That's a publicity gimmick to rabies. You know, even the word rabid means crazy and violent, but actually a rabid dog is a half dead dog.
That's right.
You know, so that's just more of the background of that is totally.
How would these media people?
I also did a study on the bat rabies in the Caribbean islands, and I was reading the reports of the early investigators. They would go over there and they would interrogate people to see if they had ever been bitten by a bat, and they were talking to people who had disease and neurological disease, and the people would say, no, I don't remember. You know, these are like non-white minorities who are considered to be uneducated and stupid, right? And so they would interview them, these patients, and then they would laugh. In the article, they had the arrogance to laugh at the answers. They couldn't even remember being written, being bitten by a bat, you know. You know, they've got classic symptoms, but they don't even remember. And this is in a scientific article, you know, like the prejudice and the bullshit was so obvious, you know. So if they don't remember being bitten by a bat, then you have to write down in your report that they didn't get, you know, you have to give equality to your BS. It has to be balanced. If you're going to believe these anecdotal interviews, you have to believe the ones that say they weren't bit as well as the ones that say they were bit, you know? So, medical science is in a world of its own. It's lowly regarded by many scientists, you know. It's not real science. It's sort of a soft science. It's a politicized science. It's not like physics or anything. So it's getting pretty late over here. What do you think?
Oh, no, I was just going to ask you, like, with that report I read out, there with travelers, how the hell do they know that these travelers have rabies? I mean, there's no...
They don't.
There's no...
It's just
there's,
a story.
I mean, I'm wondering what... Yeah, they're saying these
They can print anything they want, and they print
it's
anything
amazing.
They want anytime. Yeah. And the people that write these things are people from journalism school. You know, they don't know. Why do you get into journalism school? Because you don't want to get into science. You don't want to study anything difficult. You know, you want to write. You want to be writing for the newspaper. You know, I mean, not that it doesn't take skill, but you know, there's a lack of connect between the scientific world and the journalism. You know,
it's crazy. So there's no links there, or you don't know who they are. There's no checkpoints. There's nothing we can find out who the people are. They're just telling you that they're coming back to Australia with rabies. Like rabies,
yeah.
Okay. It's amazing.
And
it's just fear mongering. Yeah.
Yeah. If you want a hardcore criticism, then you just have to go to the Perth group in Australia, you know.
So interesting. Yeah, so interesting. Yeah. Well, they got the world's first malaria vaccine will be trialed in 3 African nations next year, so I wonder what's in that.
Well, malaria,
that as well.
another crazy thing, yeah.
We'll go into that on the next...
Malaria.
We'll go into these things. I'm interested. Dengue, malaria, typhoid... all these things with you. We'll talk about a little bit about that on the next podcast as well. Keep digging into all those. You know, when you're a traveler and you go over to these countries, the worst thing I've ever had is got sort of a bit sick stomach and diarrhea from water, you know. But I'm interested in all of this stuff as well, because of course they're bringing out vaccines for everything. Everything's going to have a vaccine soon, you know, which equals good money for them, but you're wondering what's in them.
If you get sick from water, that could be chemical poisoning, you know.
Yeah, well, more the runs. You know, a lot of travelers go to Mexico or places like that, and they get the runs when they
eat the local food. Right. Well, I guess there could be. Yeah, it could be unfiltered water. Mm. It could be a bacterial environment they're not used to, but it doesn't mean you're going to die. You know, I think if it gets deadly, I would say that's going to be a chemical.
That's right. Well, I think on next week, if possible, we'll talk a little bit about malaria and Zika, this virus thing again, because it's quite interesting. But we've hit the hour now, so that's a good smack of information. Anything else you want to add before we plug out?
That's it.
All good.
I mean, I'm pretty. You know, I did want to go over the. You know, Kimmel, the talk show, this guy named Kimmel, Jimmy Kimmel, he's the one of the reigning talk show hosts in the United States.
I got that, yeah, he sent me that.
Right, and his son, that's another whole story we can go over next time, but his son had open heart surgery just after being born because of a perceived heart problem. You know, that's a big deal, which I could go over quite a while, but we can wait on that. You know, I'd like to be critical about that whole thing.
Of course.
Yeah. Okay. So.
Oh, well, so we'll go into that, because it's good to get of course, you're in New York, so it's that's why I like having you on. It's good to get your perspective on what's happening in your part of the world. So, you know, it's good to save any of those that you find interesting that we can break down and discuss and put out, and also put up with the link of the podcast as well for folks, you know, right, so they can have a look. Yeah, and important to break all this stuff down and chat about it. So save anything that you think's interesting, as I try to. You know, I try to put as much as I can up on the websites, but there's so much information coming out, I just end up binning a lot of it. So it is good to quickly go through things and mention anything I find important, you know, as well, here.
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, I guess next time we'll have to make a list and just go down that list, bangity bang bang. You know,
I've said that before. It's an interesting way to do it. I generally do very heavy podcasts related to books or things, but there's so much happening now, you know, and there's so much stuff. And this is the thing, you know, like there's a lot of people who are good people. They're not anti-vaccination or pro-vaccination. They're not anti-ultrasound or anything like that. You know, there's millions of mums out there in Australia who just don't know or aren't sure about this information, but it doesn't mean they're not open to it. Anyone who's going to immediately close down any information we're going to offer, then you don't want to. They can go their own way, but there's so many people out there who are open to this sort of information. And I think, you know, poring over stuff and going through articles and giving your opinion on it and getting it out there, it gives them a quick idea, and then they can go and check for themselves as well. And it's a good way to get quite a bit of information out to the public, like we did today, about the manipulation and the lies, you know. In the fear-mongering and the scamming going on with these media people. And I think we're getting a wake-up here finally in Australia. It's crumbling, starting to crumble. It's very good to see.
Yeah.
That's why I did the other website. Yeah.
Right. People need to be political, because the politicians are not going to do the work for them.
It doesn't mean you're gullible, you know. Question everything, every single thing. As you said, you know, that's scary with a dentist, Jim, because, you know, what's stopping... You know, you're going to get a dental checkup and you've got nothing wrong with your teeth, and they tell you, hey, you need a you need a filling here, so they quickly drill a hole and fill it. You know, because once they drill and fill your tooth, it's the end of your tooth. Once your tooth gets drilled into and filled, that's it, because those fillings don't last forever and the cavity starts underneath it again, and then when that crumbles and you go in and get another one, they have to drill deeper to clean deeper, and they put a bigger one in, and that cycle goes on until they hit the roots, the nerves.
Sure, sure.
And then they do the
root
canal.
So we'll put that on our list too, the dental thing. I have a lot to say about the dental.
I'm very interested in this, Jim. I've been through a bit myself, and you know, I'm very interested in this. A dentist tried to scam my wife as well, and he was a holistic one. And so, you know, people need to be very wary here, and it's like a good mechanic.
I've got a lot of dental stories, you know.
I like to hear dental stories.
You've got a lot of dental stories, so that'll be another thing. That's another branch of our tree that we're going to be climbing.
I'm interested in teeth and health and what you have to say on that and stuff. So we'll go into that.
Yeah, right.
And
I want to hear what you got to say on the dental thing. And
I can give some solutions as well.
Maybe we'll contradict each other and challenge each other and all that stuff.
That is great.
Because that's a big unexplored area, the dental.
I'm just interested as well, and the procedures they do perform. And the X-rays and all this sort of stuff, you know, your general visits to the dentist and what they're doing and this. So it's something definitely good to go into because it ain't cheap when they get you locked into the dental.
Well,
no.
I gotta get going. So I
see,
guess I'll
that's
you
good.
Next time,
we'll plug in again next week, hopefully, and I'll check in with you on via email and. See if we can tee that up, but thanks again.
Sounds good to me.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you very much, Adam.